sound set.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
This episode of the Disciplined Investor is sponsored by Horowitz & Company. If you're looking for a portfolio manager, look no further. Horowitz & Company, from seed through harvest, cultivating financial success.
Markets are running higher. Italy's downgraded below A. And double doom bears are at it again. We got Das on the show today and lots to talk about global economics, current market conditions, and what to do from there. All this and much more on episode number 304 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. Well, hi, how are you? Andrew Horowitz here, and so glad you can join me today. It is middle of March 2013 already, and we're coming up on all sorts of records. The markets on the Dow side have been doing great, and there's no stopping, and every seemingly drop of 5 points comes to be met with buyers. And the S&P is on its way possibly to another record as well. And, you know, as we talked about so many times before, that we have to question, where are we in the cycle? Where are we when it comes to markets, individual stocks, whether it's your ETFs, mutual funds, where are we in the cycle right now? Well, I'll tell you that there's a lot of pundits out there that are extraordinarily bullish right now. You know, the comments have gone from, yeah, we're going to see a continuation of this run for some time to, well, we'll see some kind of a consolidation here and then move up. But either way, for the most part, we've been seeing that there's a lot of optimism out there, even in the face of any of the pessimistic, you know, reports that you may see. So in other words, if you find a stock that or an economic report or, you know, some kind of a news story that comes in negative, there seems to be a silver lining on all of it. And if not that, of course, we have the glorious Fed to have that wondrous, wide, and extraordinarily deep safety net that is under everything by them continuing to have quantitative easing and very, very easy monetary policy stances. But let's talk about some of the things that are going on before we get to our guest, Das. And I think that the downgrade of Italy last week was very interesting. And that is really a very sharp and difficult situation now, because now that all the rating services have them under an A rating, the last one was downgraded by Fitch, that's a bit of a concern. Borrowing costs could go up. They could lose access to some funds, and especially on the institutional side, and maybe have to look back to the ECB for some kind of further money bailout, injection, et cetera, to their banks, to their sovereignty. Now, the problem also is dealing with the government there, which is split. So we'll kind of maybe get to some of that discussion with Das, because he knows a lot about that. The other thing I want to talk about is we have, it seems that amidst all the optimism recently, we have also coming out again, Mark Faber and Nouriel Roubini, who are the double doom bears, as I call them, coming out with some negative comments about how we're going to see an imminent or at least a reasonably soon correction for these markets in the neighborhood of upwards of 20%, according to Faber, and somewhere in the 5 to 20% range, according to Roubini. And you have to look at those as, the perma bears or the perma bulls, and take those and push them aside for a second. Fact is that we are seeing some very interesting conditions develop, whether it's the amount of stocks that are over their 20-day, 50-day, 100-day, 200-day moving average, whether it's the fact that the KRI, the key reversal indicator that we have, that we keep track of, is at a 2+, which means that we are getting overheated in the market right now. And whether we look at the low volumes, whether we look at the relatively lackluster earnings that are coming, you know, again, we can discount all this for some time. And it reminds me of many times in the past, and you can pick a year, where there was this optimism that spread because things were going up, not because the data behind it was actually, you know, reflecting and reflective of really what was happening. Yeah, we saw a great jobs number last week, or at least great in the, you know, when you measure it against what the jobs numbers have been recently, 7.7%, unemployment rate on the official side. And at the same time, we saw about, you know, over the 200 mark, 220 or so hirings that were made. Now, there's been some controversy. If you take a look at the web, look at MarketWatch or the Wall Street Journal or, you know, wherever, there's been some controversy about, is this really a good job, good jobs number? Was it more of a part-time kind of a move and that added? Was it a flip-flop between this job and that job that kind of added, but you didn't see the subtraction for some reason? Was it people who have two jobs now because they can't afford one? Either way, doesn't really matter. You have that employers are hiring. That's an important situation. You have that employers are bringing on new people, new blood, and they're willing to take that on rather than not. And that's a good sign from the corporate side of things. Now, you have to also look at the fact that last week we saw a better than expected, or the week earlier, we saw a better than expected manufacturing number, even on the heels of the Philly Fed that was really bad. We saw a better than expected, or right in line, service number that we saw, the ISM non-manufacturing number. And that was good to see as well. So we're getting a lot of decent data points right here. And if nothing else, they're better than analysts and economists expect, similar to what we saw in the earnings season. And that's happening in the U.S. And there's a little bit of a, you know, kind of a better situation that has kind of come in. Next week, we're going to be seeing CPI. That's going to be important. See what's going on with inflation. We're going to see also the new reading, the March reading on the University of Michigan Confidence Index. We'll see if that actually holds up as well as analysts expect in the 78 range, with the fact that this is kind of the first time we're seeing after the sequester, after the payrolls in terms of your payroll tax went down and some of the other things that are going on around the world. So we'll see what that really looks like. And then you have to also look at that the European region is continuing to show recession. And over the weekend, we saw some numbers from China. China has, you know, bounced back very nicely in terms of the all their economic numbers, the stock market. And they saw two things that came out. We saw the import-export number last week, and the import-export number was, I thought, was kind of miserable because you saw this really good export number for some reason, but the import number was horrid. Like they're not buying anything from anywhere. Now, many people would say, well, that's great because what's happening is they're turning into this kind of economy where they're doing a lot more domestic buying. I don't know if that's the actual result, but that's the logic they're trying to put forward. Anyway, we saw that industrial production was also down more than was expected. CPI was up a bit. And in fact, if you look at the total basket of all the things that went on over the last week or so, and then you culminate that with what's gone on since the beginning of the year, and you add that all together, mash it up, and look at it, it's the slowest start that China has had since 2009. That's only 2-3 years, but it goes also back to, you can look back to 2004, and some of these numbers are really back there. So really what we're seeing is the, very clearly, the lack of stimulus causing an economy to go between and ride the line, that line in the sand of contraction and expansion. And that's why economies around the world, I guess, are so hell-bent on putting as much emphasis on providing for the economy rather than pulling out, because we see what happens there. Now, dollar's been rallying pretty well, and it's really a very fascinating study when you see what's happening with the yen.